Okay, can everybody hear me? Again, it's great to see everybody here this morning. If there's anybody visiting with us, you're especially welcome, and I trust that you will, each one here, know God's presence with us and know God's speaking voice to us this morning. And I trust that we will open our hearts and our minds to receive what he wants to say to us from his precious word. I'm just going to pray and just commit this few minutes to God, and that we will understand what he's saying to us. Heavenly Father, I do thank you that we can call you our Father, those who have trusted you, Lord, as our Saviour, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord. Thank you for your precious word, how it's living, Lord, how it's not like any other book, Father, but how it speaks to us and how you speak to us through it, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. I trust now, Lord, that each one here will have open minds and hearts to receive what you want to say to us from your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the meditation of my heart and the words of my lips will be pleasing to you, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I wonder, can we turn to our Bibles this morning? I'm going to look at a passage from Isaiah chapter 43. I'm actually going to start reading at chapter 42, just to give a bit of context to this passage. So Isaiah 42, and we'll begin our reading at verse 18. Isaiah 42, and reading from verse 18 on to chapter 43 and verse 7. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made a loot, with no one to say, send them back. Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot, and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord, against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways, and they did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger at the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And may God bless his word to us this morning. I apologise, I didn't put up the reference this morning, so it's Isaiah 42 and 43. So, I wonder, has anyone here this morning had something that they had to being recalled? I drive a Toyota Corolla car, and a number of years ago, I got a letter in the post I got, or a text message or something like that, to say my car had been recalled because there was a fault with an airbag in it. Now, an airbag in a car is quite a serious fault. I think there was a little sensor gone in it that if I had been in an accident, it may not have opened correctly, and it would have led to maybe tragic consequences, you know. It's quite an important part to do with the car. So I listened to the advice and I took the car in back to the main dealers and I got it fixed and it's fine. And as we look here at our passage, we can see, if we look at the context in verse 42, or chapter 42, the Israelites here, and there's nothing unusual about this, they again have sinned, they again have, I suppose God is recalling them again for a common fault that they have within them that would lead also to death, and that was their sin. So it was the airbag in my car that could have led to death, and in Israelites' case was their sin. And we can see God here very patiently. He put them through a lot, as you can see in chapter 42. They went through the mill, really. He brought judgment on them because of their sin, and they still wouldn't listen. But the very surprising thing we come to in chapter 43 is that he just showed mercy, didn't he? All of a sudden, he showed mercy. And we're going to look at a few different points here and how he did that and how he showed them mercy and spoke to them in different ways. So number one, he created, okay? So the Hebrew word for created is bara, okay? Bara. So God created, he called into existence, okay? There's nothing can be created in the world, really, unless it's by God. He called it into existence. The Hebrew word is bara. It means to bring into existence. We can make different things. We can make Lego, we can make timber, crafts, we can do much things, but we cannot create. God created things. God created. He brought into from nothing into existence. And he created the world, and he created the Israelites, he created you, and he created me. What did he create us for? He created for his glory, didn't he, and nothing else, that we would give glory to God. In Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. Okay, and what a privilege to that. He picked us specially, mankind. He didn't pick any other animal or any other being. He picked mankind, and he created them in his own image. Okay, and how special is that to us, and to the Israelites as well here. He created them in his own image, and he set them apart for his glory. He rescues and he redeems. As we can see in history, going back looking at the Israelites, they were rescued many times, weren't they? They were going through flood waters, they went through the Red Sea. And what did God do? He opened up the Red Sea, didn't he, just in front of them? He brought them out of Egypt. He gave them a dry path, and they walked through with their belongings and their families. And sadly, the Egyptians, they followed, didn't they? And they ended up inside in the sea. And as we can see here, there's a picture of a helicopter. I remember, if you think back ages going out to Christmas Day, there was lots of rain, wasn't there? And there was lots of floods up in Wexford. And there were many people in one particular area that were trapped in their homes. And they had to ring 999, and they had to get rescue 117 to come, the helicopter, and they had to be winched to safety. For they were trapped, they had to be rescued, didn't they? And so God here, he rescues out of love and pity, doesn't he? As we see how he rescued the Israelites out of love, and what did he do to the Egyptians? He there was a ransom, wasn't there? He sacrificed the Egyptians. There was much bloodshed and sacrifice. So he sacrificed the Egyptians. He brought plagues, didn't he? He brought plagues and famine and different things. He turned the water into blood. They lost all their firstborn of animals, their children. He brought disaster upon Egypt, all for the sake of his loved ones, Israel, as we see in verses 'I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba instead in your stead.' And Cush and Seba were other countries that he also sacrificed, and they too were just swept away by God to save his people. And there was a lot of sacrifice, wasn't there? And out of love for his people. As we look in Isaiah 63, verse 9, in his love and mercy, he redeemed them. Okay, he redeemed them. What does redeem mean? Anybody know what redeem means? Yeah, he bought back, didn't he? He bought back. There was a ransom. And in this case, he used the other countries like Egypt as a ransom. There was as many people that were used in this particular case. He didn't use money or anything like that, but he used different things and lands. In Matthew 14:22-33, we see Peter, don't we? And what happens, Peter, not being Peter, he was very brave, I suppose. He was very forward kind of a man, wasn't he? And they were out in the boat, they were fishing, and all of a sudden there was a storm came up, wasn't there? And what happened to poor Peter? He saw Jesus coming along in the water, and they were terrified. Jesus was walking in water, and they thought it was a ghost. And then we see Peter, out of his own faith, I suppose, he got out of the boat, and Jesus said, "Come to me." So he began to walk in the water, didn't he? He got out of the boat, and he walked towards Jesus. And what happens then to Peter? He begins to sink, doesn't he? He lost faith, and he begins to sink and drown. And as we see Jesus reached out to him, didn't he? Peter didn't reach to Jesus. Jesus reached down to Peter. And how true is that of us when we are drowning, when we are going through difficulties, when we are going through hardships, just like Peter in this case? He was in dire straits, wasn't he? He was in serious trouble, and he was drowning, and Jesus just reached out to him and took him by the hand. And how strong is Jesus' hand in compared, and how strong is that grip compared to Peter's grip? If Peter had reached out to Jesus, there's no comparison, is there? But Jesus reached out to Peter, and too, he can reach out to us and to you and me in times of trouble. If we let him and if we trust him, he is there for us, Jesus. He is always by our side, and he will reach out to us when we call out and seek his help and strength. As we look at, there's another passage in the Bible in Ruth. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story of Ruth. A Moabite. She went through an awful lot too, didn't she, Ruth and Naomi? They were from Bethlehem originally. Her husband died. They moved away to another land, and there was famine there, so they returned to Bethlehem. Both their two husbands, both Naomi and Ruth's husband, died, and their sons died, didn't they? They went through the mill. They came back to Bethlehem, and they were in dire straits. They had nothing. They had nothing, and the shame, and they had nothing with them. They had no husbands. They had no children. And we see how Boaz came along, didn't we? Boaz was the man who came to the rescue, and he was able to redeem them. He redeemed Ruth. He was able to take Ruth in marriage and rescue her out of her state. So she had nothing, and Boaz meets her needs, who had the right to redeem her and take her as his wife. And we are told here too that we have been redeemed. Who have we been redeemed by if we know our Saviour? We have been redeemed by a much greater Boaz, our Lord Jesus, who paid a terrible price. He paid his life. He ransomed his life for our sin, didn't he? He went to the cross. And there's nothing compared to what Boaz has done, but look what our Lord Jesus has done for us. He went to Calvary. He suffered, you know. He came into this world as a perfect one. He didn't sin. He grew up. He humbled himself. He became nothing. And he went to the cross. He bore the punishment, didn't he? He took the ransom for us, like Boaz did, and like the Israelites here too, how the Egyptians took pay the ransom and other lands to save them from the them being wiped off the face of the earth. But we have a great hope and a living hope in that, don't we? That Jesus is, because of Jesus and what he has done for us, we have, our punishment has been paid, isn't it? And the price has been paid. We cannot pay for our sin. We cannot pay with money or good works. You know, it's only Jesus. He has already paid the price. He has taken the ransom for us. And as we move on, we look at Christ's love. I have a picture. You'll be wondering why on earth is there a picture of a crocodile up on the screen. But I was looking at a nature program lately. I enjoy looking at nature and programs like that. And there was one about crocodiles, and there was one about baby crocodiles. And the crocodile goes and they lay a clutch of eggs. They climb out of the river and they go up on the bank and they dig a hole and they lay a number of eggs. And they cover them up again and they wait. And the crocodile goes off down to the river, not too far away, within hearing range. And she listens. And all of a sudden, then one day she hears a little whimper, doesn't she? Something is happening up in her nest. And she climbs, she pulls herself out of the water. Now bear in mind, the crocodile is one of the most powerful animals in the world. They have the strongest bite force of any animal in our world today. So she climbs up out of the water. She goes and finds her nest. She begins to dig. And some of the little hatchlings are already after coming out of their eggs. And you know what she does? She opens her mouth, this powerful, powerful mouth, and she puts them into her mouth. She puts them in between her teeth, and they are safe. She closes her mouth again without hurting them, and they are safe and secure. And then she carries them down to the river again and watches over them continuously. And as powerful as this crocodile is, and how weak her little ones are, her little baby crocodiles, we too are like little baby crocodiles, aren't we? And compared to God. And if we cry out to God, if we make a whimper, God hears us. Just like this crocodile, this mother crocodile, how much more powerful is our God, is Christ, our Saviour, than this crocodile? How much more is he going to rescue us? Is he going to save us? We are made in his image, aren't we? We are created for his glory. He is going to look after us. We can see what he has done to look after us. He sacrificed his son, didn't he, on the cross. He did that out of love. And just like this mother crocodile, I'm sure she loves her little babies so much that she will do all that she can to protect them. But sadly, some of the little ones won't survive. But in our case, if we know our Father as our Saviour, we will survive. Now, we will go through physical death. We will get sick. We're not immune to that. But in the long term, spiritually, we will survive. Our souls will live on and will be safe for eternity under God's protection, this all-powerful God. So much more powerful than this crocodile, as strong as its jaws are. Our God is the ultimate strength and the ultimate one of love. Sacrificial love, we read in Exodus 19, verse 5. Out of all nations, the Israelites were his treasured possession, weren't they? And as I briefly spoke on the sacrifices that were made, the Egyptians, they went through so much. They were sacrificed, weren't they? God allowed them to be sacrificed. You know, their whole army who followed the Israelites into the Red Sea were sacrificed. And all the horses, all their best chariotsmen, their best horses, their people, their strong men of war, they were sacrificed. And the other two countries that are mentioned, Sedan and Cush, were also sacrificed. They were just swept to one side for the sake of his loved ones, the Israelites. And as we think about the Israelites, how different are we to his people? If we know Jesus and Christ as our Saviour, we too are his people. We would be commonly called Gentiles because we're not Israelites. But us Gentiles, because if we know him as our Saviour, we are no different to the Israelites. We too are his special people and his children. And as I said before, we look at the cross, the ultimate sacrifice he made for us. that is nothing compared, you know, compared to the sacrifice he made for the Israelites and compared to he made on the cross. We can't compare the two. He sacrificed his son for us. You know, he loves us so much. Before, as Glenn was saying, before the foundation of the world, God was there in Ephesians 1 verse 5. In the beginning was God. This is the same God who protects us, who is there for us, who loves us. And this passage that I look at this morning, it's a very encouraging passage, chapter 43, and it brings much courage and hope in a world of where there is not much hope, where there is so much sickness, where there is so much tragedy, where there is COVID. And if we can look beyond that, if we have the strength to trust in our God, just like those little crocodiles, they trusted their mother to pick them up as strong as her jaws were, to put them into her mouth and protect them and carry them to safety. And we too, we're no different to those little crocodiles as God's children. He will pick us up. He will carry us through this life in safety spiritually and bring us to eternal life with him one day. And what a great hope that is, isn't it? What a great hope and assurance that we have in that truth. There's much, I'm just going to give a few examples of how God loves us. We are loved in our mother's womb, in Psalm 1 verse 39. Even before we're born, God knows all about us. In the beginning, God knew all about us. He knows how many hairs are in our heads. He knows us inside out. He loves you when you are yet sinners. In Romans 5 verse 8, God loves the sinner, but he hates sin. He loves the sinner, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even when he was dying on the cross, in John 15 verse 13, he loves us. He loved you before you loved him, in 1 John 4 verse 19. Sometimes it takes a while for us to cop on and grasp how much God loves us, doesn't it? We'll probably never grasp how much God loves us. But he loved us before we first loved him. Just like Peter in the water, who was the one who reached out first? It was Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus reached out and he took, by his powerful hand, he took Peter and rescued him. He pulled him up from the depths of the water where he was sinking. And in the same today, folks, we, if we don't know Jesus as our Savior, we too, like Peter, are sinking in our sin. We are drowning in our sin and we will need rescuing. And he is the only one, he is the only Savior that can rescue us. There is only one Savior. It's not, no priest or no man or no, nothing in this world can save us from the punishment of our sins except our Savior, who is Christ. You know, we can look to all different kinds of things, Antoinette. We could read spiritual books. We could look to important people. We could look to powerful governments. We could look to anything in the world. But there's nothing compared to who we can look to in the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us out of love. And he loves you at your worst, at your best, through fire and through water. Through the ups and the downs, he loves us. From the start to the beginning, he loves us. There is no start to God's love for us, is there? For he said he loved us in the beginning. And as we look forward, he will continue to love us, won't we? You know, we have that home to look forward to. We have to look forward to his presence one day in heaven, if we trust him. And because of his great love for us. And lastly, he sees. He sees, doesn't he? I put up a picture of the human eye. Our eye is an amazing bit of machinery, isn't it? It's amazing how God created the eye. We may think some of us have good sight. We may see I put up a few different statistics about the eye here. It can focus on 50 different objects every second. 50 objects in 1 second the eye can focus on. And we compare that to God, and we compare that to his eyes and his eyesight. How much can God focus on every second? God can focus on you and me. He can focus on you sitting right there. At this very second, he's focusing on us right now. A lot more than 50 different objects a second. There's nothing can compare the sight of God to our sight. The eye can distinguish approximately 10 million different colours. Isn't that amazing? 10 million different colours. It can detect a candle flame 1.7 miles away. And if we think about God, God is living in heaven right now. He's present with us in spirit, but God can see us. God can see into all of our hearts. He can see everywhere on the earth. There is nothing hidden from him. Nothing hidden from him. For he sees everything. Your iris has 256 unique characteristics, and our fingerprint is only 40. That's a bit different, isn't it? You know, you go to these machines, sometimes these modern places of security, and you have to put your eye up to the machine and it recognizes you. But there's nothing compared to, it doesn't compare to a fingerprint, because a fingerprint isn't half as good. But if we look at the eye of the Lord, how unique is that as he looks on us, as he continues to focus on us? The optic nerve contains more than 1 million nerve cells. Again, it's nothing compared to the eye of the Lord. And as we compare this eye to God this morning, we can't fathom God's power, can we? We can't fathom how he sees us. There, you know how well he's able to see. God has very good eyesight, doesn't he? He doesn't need glasses. He has x-ray vision. Sometimes if we're feeling down and downcast and in despair, we may turn to a friend, we may turn to a colleague, we may turn to someone we trust, humanly speaking. But who better can we turn to? Only our Saviour, the one who can look right into our hearts. We can speak to a friend, but can they look right into our hearts? They can't. Sometimes we put on a brave face, don't we, in difficulties. We turn the bright side out. But we don't have to do that with God, for God already sees. His sight is so good, he can look not just on our appearance, but look into our hearts. And that's so important this morning, isn't it? I know there's many here this morning going through much trouble. And I want you to be encouraged in these words this morning, that to look to Christ. Look to how good his eyesight is. And be encouraged that he will look into your hearts. That he knows all about you. He knows what's going on in here. We can be so torn up, can't we? There could be 101 things going on in here that nobody knows about. But who knows about it? Only Christ, our Saviour. He knows all about our needs. You know that there is so much we can be thankful for. And that he knows so much about us. And those who were scattered and dispersed in other nations, God sees them. And the Israelites in those days, they were scattered, and still today are scattered. He sees all them. He sees us as his children too. We may be scattered all over the world, but one day he will gather all people to himself. And what a hope that is, isn't it? What a living hope. What a confidence we have in that. That one day, if we know him as our Saviour, we will all be gathered in. Just like that crocodile came up out of the river and gathered her little ones to safety. We have that assurance today that one day Jesus will come. In his glory, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and he will reign with us forever. And he will gather his children, us little ones, us little crocodiles, us little chicks, under his wings, and protect us and bring us home with him. So I want you to leave that with you today, folks, these few points. There's much more I could have said, but for the sake of time, I won't go on any further. You know, he loves us so much. He loved the Israelites so much. And out of love, we too have that assurance of one day being with him forever. So I'd just like to close in prayer and commit his words to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your unfailing love, Lord. We thank you, Lord, how you rescued your people from Egypt, how you brought them to safety, Lord, even though they continually turned away from you, Lord. Yet you, out of mercy, and you, out of your great love, showed pity, Lord, and you saved them, Lord. You brought them and continue to bring and seek to bring them back to yourself, Lord. Lord, we do thank you too that you, today as we sit here, that you have pity on us, Lord. We thank you how you see us, Lord, how you watch over us, how you can see into our hearts, how you see what is going on in our lives, Lord, each and every one of us. Lord, we have so much troubles, Lord, but we thank you and praise you that we can bring them to you this morning, that we can cast our fears on you, Lord, the one who cares. Lord, may we not trust in humans to be our help, our friends, but to trust in you alone, Lord, to give us strength each day. In your name, amen. So in closing, I'd just like to read a couple of verses from 1 Timothy, just from verse 17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered into the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I think somebody will lead you out this door again, folks, and yeah.